Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, which you can re-listen to later this week on ShofarMinistries.net. And take some notes, because every program has good insights you'll want to remember for your own knowledge enhancement. And God does expect us to pursue His Word with diligence so we can finish the race that's set before us. And that's only achieved through time spent in the Holy Scriptures. And as always, we're going to open up with a prayer. Abba, Father, thank you for another opportunity to get to know you more intimately through the study of your Word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's guided us every time, and it guides us into all truth. And we thank you that you've given it to us for that purpose. And thank you for your living word, Yeshua, our Savior. We ask you to please acknowledge all the prayer requests we receive through our emails, letters, and telephone calls from our friends, and answer them according to your mercy. And we ask for the healing of souls, of character and emotions and bodies, and We have the faith that you do that, and we've seen the results of these prayers, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your presence here in the studio today and in our lives and in the lives of our listeners, and the forgiveness provided that you have provided us through the blood of the Lamb. And without that, you know, we're doomed to follow our own ways, and we won't even taste the glory of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you to all our listeners, and thank you, John, and Shalom Haver to you, and Shalom Haverim to all our listeners as well.
Very good. That was Hebrew for friends.
Yes.
Just thought I'd throw that in.
They're telling me to talk louder. Maybe I should turn it up.
Well, no, I think it's because your microphone's pointed at the...
That's better?
Okay.
Oh,
I can't even
hear myself now.
It's called directional microphone. That's okay. Now we know it's a learning process. Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think we're going to get right into the news tonight so we can spend as much time as possible on our teaching on the unique book of Esther.
Okay. Now, Esther, the book of Esther. Okay. Yeah. Well, before we get to that, what is this? Is there news we should be hearing about?
I read the news today.
Oh, I guess there is. That
I
means
guess
there
so.
Is.
Okay. Yeah, really, though, it's not any good news. Right. I'll tell you, it's just really terrible out there. Anti-Semitism is escalating.
That's sad.
And now there's a new brand of replacement theology. You know, the old replacement theology is one where they believe that the church replaced Israel.
Yeah, believe and teach it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about that.
Yeah.
But now there's a new brand of replacement theology, and it's permeating the secular church, known as the Palestinian Liberation Theology.
Hmm.
And it's the movement that got its major boost in two years ago, 2010, with the release of some documentary film. I didn't see it. It's called With God on Our Side, and it presented a critical view of people like you and me who are called Christian Zionists,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And 2 years ago, they had this conference called Christ at the Checkpoint Conference, held in Bethlehem, again gives a critical view of people like us, and some speakers attempted to equate Jesus' suffering on the cross with the Israeli, what they call, mistreatment of the Palestinian Arabs.
Wow.
And again, just attacking us terribly, and I consider myself a
Christian Zionist.
Zionist.
A Zionist, and maybe we should explain that?
We should.
What is a Christian Zionist?
Yeah. Well, through the years, I've been saved quite a few years, and I have different titles for every few years. I seem to change it, you know, fundamental Christian, born-again Christian, you know. But now everybody's stealing my titles that really aren't where they need to be. So now I have a new title.
Okay. What is it?
And it's, I believe I'm a Christian Zionist. And what that means is it's those who support the state of Israel on their biblical grounds, on the Bible.
Oh, okay. That's not a political...
No, it's Bible.
This is not a political name, actually. This is a spiritual kind of description. yes. of a Zionist.
I take the Bible literally, okay? And so therefore I believe that, well, let me tell you what happened. There's a recent open letter to the people like us, Christian Zionists, from what I would consider the religious left. Okay, they call themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're even calling themselves evangelicals, which is what I'm saying. I don't know what name to go by anymore.
Well, there you go.
But they call themselves evangelicals, and some of them are even, well, most of it is the emergent church, but there's Baptists, there's all kinds of different groups in this religious left that think the Palestinians should have Israel. And here's what they wrote a letter to people like us. And it was a long letter, but on the close it says, "We write as evangelicals to you, our fellow evangelicals, on the shared basis of biblical authority, and we ask you to reconsider your interpretation of Scripture. For the sake of God, humanity, the United States, and yes, Israel itself, the land and people you love." So well, they're asking us to reconsider interpreting the Scriptures to agree with them instead of what the literal interpretation says.
Well, that's going to be, even though the sentiment seems to be nice, but that is really dangerous. If we're going to alter Scripture interpretation to fit a political agenda or even a theological agenda, that's it's not going to work.
Well, they base their theology basically on the fact that God did say, if you, you know, follow other gods, I will, you know, basically scatter you and throw you out of the land and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they never talk about the fact that because of his covenant with Abraham, he will bring them back.
Yes, and there's plenty
They don't
of,
talk about that.
Well, I know, and there's plenty of stuff in the Bible, plenty of scriptures that describe that and prophesy that. And anyway, what kind of conference did you say this was? It was a conference or a...
I didn't really just hear. I just heard about it not too long ago.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It was on Jack Van Impe.
Are they going to have another one? Or?
Oh, no. You know, it was on Hal Lindsey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, they are going to have another one, and it's going to be next month, as a matter of fact, which is why I happened to bring it up. And it's called, again, Christ at the Checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a conference in Bethlehem at the Bethlehem Bible College. And it just happens to be the same week that Purim is celebrated.
Wow. Now, we'll find out more about the significance of that as we progress through here, but that's...
Well, they want to further advance their heretical cause.
Wow.
And I just feel so bad for the Israelis because they've got to be confused over how actual portions of an evangelical church, they call themselves evangelicals, that had at one time vigorously supported their nation's prophetic restoration, can now be championing its delegitimation.
Delegitimation?
Is that how I say it? You know.
That's a hard one.
That's a hard one. But
yeah, they're trying to delegitimize.
Thank you.
Israel.
That's why I have you around, John.
And we have, and we have all the legal document we need, and it's called the Bible.
That's right. That's all I need.
Yes.
So we'll be hearing more about that, I'm sure. But in the meantime, let's go on to some other news. What do you think?
Okay. What's going on in the Gulf now with this?
Well, just this week,
Two
Iranian vessels, one a destroyer and another one a supply ship, actually crossed through Egypt's Suez Canal into the Mediterranean, probably with weapons because they're heading towards Syria, the Syrian coast.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that before, when Mubarak was still there, they would have never been able to go through the Suez. They would have had to go all the way around. Now they can just boop, right through there.
And probably decided not to do it, you know, if they had to go all the way around. So here
they
have all this ease of moving whatever they want.
That's right. That's right. And they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
For 11 months now, by the way, the Syrian people have been dying. They're up to like 6,000.
Yes, it's almost what you'd call a civil war at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they seek to topple Assad, the brutal regime, of course, who, by the way, will stop at nothing we're seeing to maintain his grip on power. So the Syrian people are begging for international assistance, and yet no one, including America, which would ensure the quickest results, is no one stepping in to help them. Not only that, but the Assad regime... And remember, it is on the terrorist list. They pose a grave threat to our national security because they maintain a strategic partnership with Iran, as well as with Hamas and Hezbollah. For years, it facilitated the entry of foreign fighters into Iraq who killed American troops. And for years, it secretly pursued a nuclear program with North Korea's assistance.
Wow.
So I really hope that you all will, out there will pray for the Syrian Christians, because there are Christians there, to get the gospel out to the other Syrian people during this time of calamity over there. Because, you know, it does say in the Bible, in their affliction, they will seek me. And they're going through quite a bit right
now. Yes, they are. They are.
So
Tragedy. Sheila, do you think Israel will do that preemptive strike they talk about a lot to destroy Iran's nuclear sites?
Well, in my opinion, I don't think they're going to do anything really significant. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they will continue covertly, which I think they've been doing, by the way, trying to do the best they can by taking out the scientists and things like that that are actually working on that.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, seems fair to me. I mean, it's better than taking out the whole country, you know?
Right. Sounds like the Cold War in the 60s.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anything that they do, and maybe they will do something, you know, on a smaller scale, it's going to be very temporary as far as halting their ambitions. It's just going to slow them down a little bit. But that would be God's plan, too, because, see, everything has to fit into the Ezekiel 38 scenario that's going to be coming up right after, or soon after we leave, I believe we'll be gone for that. But Ahmadinejad keeps coming up with this, these on-again, off-again talks, you know. Sure, we'll sit down and talk, and that kind of prolongs for another couple months till the date comes. And then when the date comes, they decide, oh, well, we can't really do it right now. And then we say, okay, now we're going to do more sanctions. And, of course, then they say, well, we'll just sit down and we better talk now.
Well, that's hemming and hawing.
Yeah.
Right?
And they continue to do it time and time again. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
And yet the Obama administration goes along with it, and you just got to know there's something else going on in his mind. You know? But anyway, they're going to keep doing this until one day Iran will have what they need. And then they're going to feel like they're really in charge. So to dictate their own terms. And it's true, I guess.
I guess that's the way it looks. And that's where it's headed.
But again, we have to trust God. He's got it all under control. Our only job as Christians is to tell people that Jesus is coming soon.
Right.
I report the news so that people can see how close we are to the rapture.
That's right.
You know? But again, they're building themselves up for Ezekiel 38 and 39, and I think it's their pride that's going to play a big part in this. Hey, look what we've done. We've done it, even with the whole world watching. And, of course, the pride, which is the father of the lies and Satan and all that.
Oh,
but
sure.
In the meantime, though, John, this is what's really kind of sad still, though, that we continue to reduce our arsenal capabilities, which, of course, continues to make us weaker, and especially in the eyes of the world, particularly Iran, Russia, and the other players in Ezekiel 38. I'm looking at America, and I think of us being like the Titanic. We're just being taken down from within.
It's sad, and that's scary, but not that scary, because in Proverbs it says that God, our Father, holds the heart of the king in his hand, and he can turn it whichever way, like a river, he can turn it any way he wants to. So God is definitely in control of all this, and we don't have to panic.
No.
You don't have to panic.
Really, John, I think this is a good time to answer the question, what is our purpose here on earth?
Okay.
Can I answer that?
Well, that's getting heavy real fast. Okay.
Well, you know, we see all these things going on, and we don't need to worry ourselves with that.
Right.
I mean, we pray for the people. We hope that people get saved. But the main purpose for our being here is to choose where we want to spend eternity.
That's right.
Okay? And it is our job to tell as many people about Jesus Christ as possible.
Right.
Most won't listen, or they want to believe what they want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear that all the time. Well, I don't think that. Well, where's the facts? Where's your source of truth? Tell me it, you know? And then until you can really show me another path, when I see at the Bible how many, oh my gosh, hundreds of prophecies that have been fulfilled that were written down way before they happened, show me another book or another theory that you have that can match that. There isn't any. So that's why we're here. I'm glad I've chosen the right path.
I am too.
There's not too many of us.
We chose God, and
we're
at the
small.
Same time, God chose us, and
amen. He chose the bride way before.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's our choice to be part of the bride.
That's right.
Okay.
Good
now,
place to be.
That's right. You know, I think...
You want to get into the Feast of Purim right now? It's not one of the...
No, I think we should take a little break first because then we can put that aside and then we'll have the rest of the time to continue on with the Book of Esther.
Okay, which is...
And then we're going to finish next week, too, because it's another two-parter, you know.
Okay, the Book of Esther, which tells the story of Purim. Well, Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. Any and all donations are tax-deductible and are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please help if you can. Be a partner with us. You can use PayPal on our website or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter list, so include your email address as well. And if you have an email address, and of course we can send it out to your regular mail, be sure to check out our webpage, though. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there. DVD teachings are also available and make a great gift. And the three-part series on the rapture, with so many scriptures for proving the rapture, you'll love this study that we did on this program a few months back. And it's great to hand out to your Christian friends who might be wavering a little bit on how they, if they believe in a rapture or not. And, you know, they may not think they're leaving soon, but we know we are. And we'll also have the lines open for when we come back, and the numbers for your end-time questions. One number this time, 888-677-WORD, 888-677-WORD. So stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a cool song from the famous gospel group called the Crab Family, and they'll play their song about the rapture, and it's entitled, Don't You Want to Go?
I do.
Stay with us now.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE.
Attention timeshare owners. Frustrated with your timeshare? Then we want your timeshare today. Don't pay your next bill until you talk to us. Call us at 888-888-3309. We want your timeshare today. Over the last 6 years, we've helped thousands of timeshare owners escape increasing maintenance fees, assessment fees, and even mortgage payments. We'll give you a free face-to-face evaluation of your timeshare or by phone 7 days a week. Don't wait. Appointments fill up fast. So call 888-888-3309 right now to see if your timeshare qualifies. That's 888-888-3309. We have a 100% guarantee, and we are A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. So call right now, 888-888-3309. That's 888-888-3309. We want your timeshare today. Customers are direct and through affiliates. Customers are those doing business with us. Contact company for complete details.
Amen. How many is thankful for the grace of God? How many has ever had to use God's grace? Amen. Listen to this beautiful song.
I've been to some places where I did not belong.
Y'all help us out with this one. Come on.
There's a building program going on in heaven. by God's own hand. 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side. The streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in that city. No sickness and no sorrow will be known. The feeble will be young, no division all is won. Eternal celebrating going on. Don't you want to go with me to God's new city? Don't you want to hear that heavenly choir sing? And don't you want to this great salvation plan? Can't you feel a stirring in your soul? Don't you wanna go? You know I have many loved ones waiting over yonder, and how I long to see my precious father there. Now all the saints will get in, immortal bodies free from sin.
Go.
It looked like you were going there for a minute when you were dancing.
I can't help but dance songs like this. Maybe we should do that again.
Well, yeah, let's do it again.
Okay.
We're going. Come along with us this time.
Okay, Derek, hit it.
Don't you wanna go? Don't you wanna go? Don't you wanna go?
Wow. Welcome back.
Oh, that was great.
That was. That was fun. I wish everybody could have seen us in the studio. We were having fun. And
we even got Darren jumping up and down a little bit.
He was jumping a little bit, wasn't he? Welcome back. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We don't always have a party like that in between our breaks, but this time we thought it was necessary, and that song was Don't You Want to Go.
Because it's going to be a happy time. We're going to be singing like that and dancing in heaven.
That's right. And that's what it's about. It's happiness. And we've got the lines open now for your end time question. The telephone number is 888-677-WORD. And excuse me, just a reminder, our next Shofar Ministries Hour will be next Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's the February 26th. And at 6 p.m. again. And if you want to be on our newsletter mailing list, either send your request to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or use snail mail if you don't have the internet, and send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if possible, I know times are tough, but we survive on love offerings.
That's right. If you want to see us stay on the air, please be generous.
Please be generous. And we have many friends. And thank you to those who have helped in the past and got us a long way on this. So let's get back to our topic, which was, I don't know. We're always pushing the rapture on this show, as you well know. But tonight,
not too many are.
Well, and that's why we're
not too many shows even talk about end time prophecy.
Well, I know.
A few.
I know.
Thank God for that.
I know. So that's why we're putting it out there to you. And, but tonight's show is on the Feast of Purim, which is not one of the required feasts for the all the males to show up in Jerusalem for, but it is a feast, and it is found in the Book of Purim, or the Book of Esther, right?
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And it's March 8th and 9th this year. It lasts for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually in February or March, and this year it's in March.
Oh, okay. And that's, conference in Bethlehem.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, that's a funny. Well, that's a coincidence.
That's interesting because here we're, mm-hmm. this conference is obviously Jewish enemies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Purim is about getting rid of Jewish enemies. It's going to happen. Everybody.
I'd be afraid to attend that conference, I think.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Right. Well, anyway, again, as I said, and I can't say it more than enough, anti-Semitism is rising more than ever. It is at a level as the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it just absolutely amazing, John, when you look back in history and see how time and time again, over and over, Satan has tried to annihilate the Jewish race, as the Book of Esther shows us. And I do suggest that everyone out there should read or perhaps reread Esther this week.
And while you're reading it, don't forget to look for types. Look at each character and see maybe they represent something else.
Oh, they
There's a lot of typology in this book. Yes.
Today, and this is a typology that I just put together actually this week. Because think of it. Today, the leader in Persia or the leader in Iran today is called Iran, who is Ahmadinejad.
Mm-hmm.
Sets the scene for, it's really the typology of the Book of Esther because the enemy wants to destroy all the Jews and Ahmadinejad wants to destroy all the Jews.
And this is taking place in Iran, which is actually Persia,
right, it's
was
the same
where
place.
The story of Esther
right.
took place. And that is really cool. Sheila, you told me recently that there are about 20,000 Persian Jews living in Iran. And how does that fit with such a tyrant of a Jew hater like Ahmadinejad? I mean, how does he tolerate these?
Well, you know, it's funny because 20,000 Jews really isn't that many compared to the way it used to be.
Hmm.
It used to be a lot more.
A lot more.
Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that just like Haman, which we'll talk about,
mm-hmm.
Haman had to answer to the king. So he was only second in command. Ahmadinejad answers also to a higher authority called the Ayatollah,
mm-hmm.
who has said that Iran must follow their constitution. And the Constitution says it's to be a nation for all religions, you know, so they can pray, well, we are a nation of all religions, you know. Well, how could they say
kidding.
That? How could they say that if they
weren't
yeah. Jews?
Right. Hmm. As well as Christians, too, right?
That's right. That's right. There's Christians, too. Now, don't think for 1 minute there is no persecution over there. They actually make up reasons to punish or kill Jews and Christians. And it's not easy to get out of the country right now.
Okay. Well, here we have the story repeating. Well, let's look at the story itself. So what's the basic story?
Okay. Here's the basic story. It opens with the current queen of Persia back in the Book of Esther, and her name was Vashti. And she's being called up to appear at a lavish party with her husband, the king. But she refuses. And scripture doesn't tell us why. And so she lost her place as his queen. So a search was made for a new one. And after 2 years...
Wait, 2 years? That's a typology there.
I think so. It kind of represents 2,000 years, I think. But we'll talk about that more later.
Okay.
But after 2 years, the beautiful and submissive Esther, who is an unknown Jew and ward of her older Jewish cousin, Mordecai, was chosen. Now, her Hebrew name is Hadassah, which means myrtle, which is a symbol of everlasting life and a pleasant fragrance. But her Persian name for Esther means something hidden, like a star. In the daytime, you don't see stars.
Oh, and that's when they're hidden, isn't it?
Yeah. So the Book of Esther has many things hidden beneath the surface.
That you don't see stars until darkness comes, and sometimes you don't know, until darkness comes and we see who really has the light. Sheila, I think it's interesting in this story, there is no mention of the name of God. There's no reference to worship or faith, no prediction of the Messiah, no mention of heaven or hell even, and except for fasting, there's not much religious stuff going on in this book at all. Why is it included in our Bible?
Well, it's the obvious answer is how the Jews were miraculously saved from annihilation. Again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's important for it to be in there so we can see that beautiful, miraculous story of how God protects the Jews time and time again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to have a comprehensive
list.
That's
what an everlasting covenant means. That's why he does it. It's an everlasting covenant.
Not that he doesn't punish. Or chastise.
He'll do that to us, too.
He kicks them out of the land for being bad.
Yeah.
But he also said, I'm bringing you back.
Mm-hmm. He did.
So, on the surface, there's no mention of the name of God. But if you search, like we should, and we're going to get into that more next week, wow, there is a lot of hidden stars within this book.
Mm-hmm.
But let me continue right now so we can cover the regular story. And then... again, next week we'll look for more nuggets, okay?
Good.
But as the story progresses now, and after a few years, the king's head advisor, Haman, he is a treacherous enemy of Esther's cousin, who's named Mordecai.
And they were enemies because Mordecai would not bow down to him, which was a custom in that time and in that place.
Yeah, he was a very important man.
Yes, Haman
was second under the king.
He was the head advisor, and he wasn't bowing to him.
That's right.
And
so because of that, Haman hated all the Jews.
Yeah.
And so Haman plots to exterminate the Jewish race, the whole thing.
And that's something Satan's been trying to do since God's promise in the Garden of Eden. And you know what? It never succeeds.
And never will.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sheila, isn't Haman actually a descendant from the enemies of Israel? And I think it's the Amalekites. And that God told the King Saul of Israel to annihilate these people many, many years before, right?
Right, because they were of the bad seed.
Right.
Okay, so God told him to get rid of all of them.
He said he would wipe out their name from the face of the earth, their remembrance of them, you know.
Right.
So,
but unfortunately, King Saul didn't do it. Okay,
we
see the consequences of this disobedience now, because we see Haman, who is a descendant of the Amalekites.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what's also interesting is Mordecai is actually a descendant of Saul, who was supposed to take care of the Amalekites. So we see this reenactment of a very similar scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier. Again, another proof that history does repeat itself. And if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it.
And if obedience is so important, because if Saul would have been obedient and annihilated them in the first place, the Jews would not be facing annihilation. So there was a reason.
That's right. That's right.
So that's why obedience is really good.
That's right. Really good. But Haman, again, is second in command under the king in this kingdom.
Like Ahmadinejad is second in command under the Ayatollah, right?
That's right. But as long as Mordecai lives, Haman can't have any peace. It just drives him crazy. He's bitterly jealous. So Haman craftily succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king. And I encourage you to read the story so you can get all the extras. We're just kind of like telling you the basics. But he proceeds to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and then to totally annihilate all the Jews in all the provinces. By the way, there's 127 of them. And anyone could do it that was not Jewish. And they could get paid for it.
Get paid for it? And
For killing a Jew, they could get paid for it. Who would ever think of such a thing?
Well, I think they're thinking about it over there, Hamas and Hezbollah.
Being done today in the Middle East.
And their families are getting paid for the suicide bombers.
Yes.
And obviously the rank-and-file terrorists are getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting paid to kill the Jews.
And isn't America still sending these terrorists lots of money?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we're paying them so that they will not hurt too many people, basically, you know, to keep a peace treaty and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like The Godfather to me.
Well, it sounds like we're spoiling some brats over there.
Boy.
Wow.
So, anyway, Haman cast lots. Now, that's what they did in those days.
Lots.
They cast these lots, which was also called a pur, and plural
is Purim, or Purim, like you say.
Yes. And anytime you add an I-M to a word, Hebrew word, it makes a plural.
Generally speaking, yes.
Which when I opened up tonight, I said, Shalom Haver to you, but I said, Shalom Haverim to the people that were listening.
Very good.
So there, you just had a little Jewish lesson there.
Little lesson in Hebrew, a little grammar there.
That's right. So anyway, Haman cast lots on the first month of the biblical calendar, and the biblical calendar would have been Nisan, and it was on the 13th to decide when to declare the slaughter of the Jews so that anybody that wasn't a Jew could kill another Jew.
That's right.
Now, we hear this a lot, too.
And what do we, that's right. What do we say about dates, too, when you study your Bible? Dates are important. They're not in there just for frills. You know, Adar 1 begins this Saturday, as a matter of fact.
That's right. It does.
You know.
It does. And then on the 8th and 9th is actually Purim.
Wow.
So, but when Mordecai, okay, he's a good guy, realizes Haman's evil plan, he beseeches his cousin, who he raised, Queen Esther now. And he still doesn't know that she's Jewish.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And he asked her to intercede with the king on behalf of the Jews. She tells Mordecai, okay, fast for the next 3 days, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of Nisan.
That's the time of Passover.
It is. Mm-hmm. How coincidental.
Yes.
At which time Esther requests admittance into the king's presence.
Now, wasn't she taking a big risk? Because I know it was said right in the book of Esther that no one could enter the king's presence and that they would actually be under the penalty of death unless he called them first. Yeah. And that even included his wife.
That's right. That's right.
So this is.
And under any other circumstances, I don't think she would have done it.
But to
save her people, she did. And out of his great love for her, he really did love her. The king agrees and listens to her and promises her anything. So she decides to give a banquet, and now it's on the 17th of the first month, which is
Nisan. That's
and we'll 17th. Definitely talk about that in a minute.
That date is important, too.
It is. On their biblical calendar, she reveals the plot of the wicked Haman to have all the Jews killed, along with the truth about herself being Jewish. So the king orders Haman to be hung on the very gallows that Haman had made for Mordecai. So the Jewish people were soon spared from the king's decree. And by the way, many years later, it was Esther's stepson's son who was the king who gave the decree for the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
So it all ties in. And, that's just a cool story. It's got irony. It has It's got everything. It's got intrigue as well as a huge message and pictures.
Yes, and that's what we're going to look at right now.
Okay. Well, let's see some pictures.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, each time I read this story, and this is the truth, every single time I see more pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know that's the Holy Spirit. He reveals what he wants you to see.
That's right.
And so you never get tired of reading the Bible.
Exactly.
That's right. So I hope you all out there will read it also and, again, try to find your own pictures. But the more obvious ones are the dates. And the first one we think of course, is on the 17th of Nisan. Haman. Now, I look at Haman as being a picture of the Antichrist, and before that, Hitler,
mm-hmm.
and before that, you know, Herod and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know, they fall in the same category because they want to kill Jews.
Antiochus Epiphanes.
But it's interesting, it was on the 17th of Nisan. And again, this represents new life to the Jews and death of their enemy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Haman. He was killed on this day.
Okay.
Now, the 10 sons are hung the following Adar, when the Jews were originally scheduled for slaughter.
Yeah. So then how is Nisan 17 significant?
Well, on the 17th of Nisan is when Jesus rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Feast of First Fruits. This is how he fulfilled it. And he gives, of course, by his death, gives us new life to all who just have to, all we have to do is believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not even like we have to go out and do all these extra things. We don't have to. Just believe and we are saved.
Yes.
Wow. How graceful and merciful is that?
We trust in his covering of, you know, his blood sacrifice of God's very own self. He sacrificed himself on our behalf.
I know.
And just trust that he's done it.
That's right. That's all we have to do is really trust him and then try to get to know him. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Someday we're going to meet the author.
And
don't you want to say, hey, I read your book?
Yeah.
You know, I think about that. I think of these famous authors that come to town and
mm-hmm.
people that are good, big readers. You know, they'll make sure, well, they read the book really good so that when the author comes, they can get his autograph and say, yeah, I read your book.
Yes.
Well, that's how it's going to be when we get to heaven.
I know.
He's going to say, did you read my book? I would say, yes, here, sign it. But anyway.
It's funny, but it's very true.
I know.
Yeah. And you're going to meet people that, oh, what page were you on? I don't remember you, but, you know.
Well, Jesus rose from the dead on Nisan 17. And again, of course, that's the resurrection, giving new life to all who believe this.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, he defeated Satan. Satan is a defeated foe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's still roaming around trying to bring as many people with him. But he's basically a defeated foe. We know the end of the story. We know the end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Let's also not forget that on the 17th of Nisan, the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea.
Oh, yeah.
If you do your homework and count the days, you can see that it was through the Red Sea that they went. And, of course, that gave them new life from bondage while defeating Pharaoh and his army, also a picture of defeating Satan and his demons. I mean, it's just so there.
Yep.
You know? And, of course, that life from bondage in Egypt, Egypt is a picture of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in bondage to the world.
That's right.
You have to sin because your sins aren't forgiven. You know?
So, yeah. You don't really want to be there.
No. Something else happened on Nisan 17. Do you know?
Yes, I think I do. And I think that's the date that, and this is all can be figured out by reading the Bible, Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat.
That's right. It stopped after that huge flood,
mm-hmm.
representing new life to the whole human race. Tell me dates aren't important. And he does things on certain dates, and that's why I love to teach on the seven dates or feasts of the Lord, which means appointments, and we're going to be talking about that coming up probably next month. We'll be getting into the spring feast,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go over each date and how it's relevant. Relevant.
Now, let's get back to those pictures because you were on a roll there. Can you do a couple more?
Yes. Okay, also, if Haman represents the Antichrist who rules over... Now, the Antichrist is going to rule over 10 nations, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says.
That's what the horns
represent.
The horns
and Daniel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that is why Haman had 10 sons.
Maybe. Do you think?
I think. During the month of Adar, which this year is our March, when Haman's lot fell, to annihilate all the Jews all throughout the kingdom of 127 provinces, which included Israel, the festival of Purim takes place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So in celebration now, let's talk about that. Every year they have a celebration. I mean, then they should, just like they celebrate Hanukkah. From that could have been an annihilation.
That's right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
In celebration, it is a time of a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is one of the... You said you were in Israel at a time of Purim time? Somebody told me they were there.
No, it was Tabernacles.
Oh, it was Tabernacles.
Which was another joyous time.
Well, I talked to somebody that was there during Purim, and they said it is... Did you think the Mardi Gras something? Be in Israel at... Well, it's not decadent like that.
That's good, because I at one time was at Mardi Gras, and I couldn't put the two together. But
it's that kind of a...
Costumes and stuff. Yeah.
They do it, and they do it well.
Yeah. So. It's a time of a lot of fun game playing. They do dress in costumes and joyful remembrance during the reading of Esther, which they always read. It's also called the Megillah.
The Megillah, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what is that, John?
Megillah just simply means telling, and in another way it means it's a scroll. They call it the Megillah, which means it's a telling of the story. And it's also the name for a scroll. And the scroll is the book of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, most of the books are separate scrolls.
Each
of the originally.
Books is on a separate scroll,
right.
Except the Torah. Yeah.
And originally, if you visit synagogues, you'll find that some of the ones that are wealthier will have actually an Esther scroll.
Wow.
You know, they'll have one. You know.
Wow.
It might be a reproduction or whatever.
Well, of course it is.
but they'll have one, you know. So
but still,
kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, during the reading of Esther, if the name Mordecai or Esther is read, the people start cheering
Yay.
And clapping and go, Yay, you know. We did that once, do you remember?
Yeah, we did. We did it more than once.
We even did a play.
Yeah, we did a play.
That was a hoot.
Yeah, that was.
But when they ever mention the word Haman,
everybody goes, boo.
That's right.
And hisses, too.
To the point that really no one wants to hear his name because it's so loud.
Yes.
It's an uproar.
Yes.
As far as eating, they have a three-cornered cookie filled with fruit, and it's eaten to commemorate Haman's three-cornered hat. Of course, they wore the three-cornered hats in Persia.
They did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they would, and they still do every year, make these three-cornered cookie hats.
Yeah, Hamantaschen, they're good.
With fruit inside, representing his fruitness. I don't know.
It's similar to Hanukkah where you have the jelly donuts. It's a traditional thing. So this is sort of like that.
That's right.
So it's a lot of fun.
Why not out there, please, if you're listening to this show, I hope that you will read the Book of Esther this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because next week we're going to continue and give you a lot of gold nuggets. And why not have a Purim party with your kids on either March 8th or 9th? It's a great learning experience of God's words.
Yes, and parents, teach your children about these stories. It is pleasing to God. It really
is.
Train
the child in the way it should
go. And it gives them wonderful memories that they associate happy times with the Bible. Any other picks before we have to go?
Well, we only have a couple minutes, so I'll kind of talk fast, and then maybe next time I'll go over this one more time. But, yeah, Mordecai is definitely a picture of Jesus. He takes Esther. It's a picture of the believers to see the king. Right?
Right. Yes.
And when Jesus meets us in the air, he will take us to God the Father. And right now, God is the king.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mordecai had adopted Esther. And Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians says that we are adopted.
Oh, that's true.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Esther, I think, represents the believers.
Okay.
Because actually we are Jews in spirit, aren't we?
Yes, in spirit we are.
That's right. So Esther accepts the invitation where Vashti refused, and I believe is a picture of the unbelievers who don't want to go to the king.
Hmm.
We also see in the story that there was a servant named Haggai who represents the Holy Spirit who prepares Esther and beautifies her prior to going to the king. Now, that's a picture of the Holy Spirit because that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He's beautifying us through the Word of God so we can go and see the king.
And that's a beautiful picture
that's
there.
Absolutely wonderful. And so Haman again is the Antichrist, and Haman's 10 sons represents the 10 nations that the Antichrist will rule over during the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
But now Haman has a wife,
mm-hmm.
and her name is Zeresh.
Zeresh, yeah.
And perhaps, and this is just my little guess, perhaps she represents the woman in Revelation, which is the false religion, because she teams up with the Antichrist.
Okay.
Okay, just a thought.
Yeah, thought.
And the 10 sons of Haman is written in the 9th chapter. And here's what's really interesting. This really got to me. In the original, each name of one of the sons, first of all, has a very negative, prideful meaning. You can look them up and you can see they're all bad. Maybe we'll do that next week.
Okay.
But these were actual people with these awful meaning names. Plus, they are all separated from the other words in the original text. You have it where mm-hmm. the names are all written on one side away from the rest of the text. It's like all blank.
Yes.
And I think it's because God didn't want to put such horrible names.
Well, they're used with the name. You have the Aleph Tav, which, you know, we've come to learn this. It represents the Alpha and the Omega. It's the beginning and the end. And that represents Jesus. And the physical separation between the Aleph Tav on the left and the name of the son of Haman on the right is like, what is it, maybe 10 inches or something like that mm-hmm. on the parchment.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And if any of you can have access to an interlinear, look it up and see it yourself.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, next time we're going to meet, and we're going to go talking about acrostics, and now we're going to really look at the hidden messages in the book of Esther.
So we're going to get a little more tricky with our search, right?
It's going to be very deep for all you out there.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think we've about run out of time.
Yes, we have.
Unfortunately. Now, remember, we talked about this. If you've never made, you're here to make a choice. And if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're just concerned, you might be one of those that just has the head knowledge, but not really a heart conviction. All you have to do is get on your knees right now. Trust him. Repent, particularly of sins that are hanging on in your life. He'll help you with those. And then commit your life or recommit your life to Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah of all. But always remember, it's your choice to choose him. So you decide where you spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. Just decide for yourself. Choose the right thing. Now, do you have a question for Sheila? Would you like her to speak at your church or group? I'll even come with her. You may just email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office. The number is 440-834-9006. And a reminder, we'll be right back here next Sunday for part two on the Book of Esther. Same time, same channel. And we're going to go with the Aaronic blessing right here and leave you with that. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chonecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'esem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us next Sunday, same time, February 26th. Until then, sha'alu, shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Not maybe.
Not maybe.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila at shofarministries.net.